we're going to get back to my analogy. We're going to get back to the history lesson at hand. So back in the history lesson, when the women and the older, maybe weaker men and the children were the ones running the church, do you really think they were still preaching the fire and the brimstone and all that that they were preaching in the church beforehand? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to revisit a subject that's very near and dear to my heart and one of the things that really inspired me to start this show in the first place. And it's the lack of strength in the Christian church. It's my desire to save the Christian church, or more accurately, for Christian men to save the church. Now, that might seem like extreme, or that might seem completely out of pocket, like, Austin, how in the world could you even say you want to do that, much less actually achieve it? Well, actually, there's a very simple solution to it. However, a lot of people don't know the history of the subject we're going to discuss. If you go to certain churches in certain demographics, you know, like ones near colleges or high schools, or ones that maybe have elementary schools in them as a part of it, like the Catholic schools or something like that, then you might not be aware, but for the most part, young men especially, they're not really into the church. They're checked out. They have been for a long time. So you might think that this doesn't affect you, and you might say, awesome, this doesn't talk about my church, or this isn't very representative of the church in general. And I say, I disagree. The reason I disagree is because if you look at the demographics done in statistics, you would find that a lot of churches are lacking in young men, and they have a surplus of young women. Now, as the older population gets older, and they age out, the church is faced with, okay, we have these younger people who are a little more broke, but there's not a lot of them. Middle-aged people are kind of there, but kind of not there. Maybe they come on Easter and on Christmas. That's not super precise and not super consistent. And then they have the older people who are more consistent. The problem is a lot of people don't understand why younger men especially are checked out of the church. I've talked about this at length on this show. One of the biggest reasons is because men are not really given a reason to. If you look at how the church, whether it's your denomination or the Catholics versus the Protestants, when you look at how the churches have changed since World War II, up until now, there is a very stark difference with the message, with the culture, with the attitudes, with the people who are conducting themselves in the church, the morals. All these things are very slowly but surely they've been degraded, they've changed. And there's a very, very easy way to demonstrate what I'm talking about. Let's do some basic math, shall we? I don't say this to demean you in any way. I say this because a lot of people, they don't like the claims we make on the show. They think that I'm being extreme, I'm being a shock jock. Well, I mean, you can think whatever you want. I can't control what you think. Not the government. But what I can do is try to make this make sense through reason and logic, okay? During World War II, and World War I, arguably, but let's focus on World War II. In World War II, I realize many of you fell asleep, but for those of you who are still awake, in World War II, most of the men were drafted into war. And then you could add Vietnam in there as well. But during World War II especially, a lot of the men were off in the Pacific Theater, off in Europe, and they were fighting. A lot of them didn't come home. During that time, who ran the church? The church didn't just shut down. Who ran the church? It's a very simple answer. The women and the men who were too weak to fight, or the children, right? So when you didn't take the years we were at war, and you might think it wasn't that long of a time in the matter of years, but guess what? It doesn't take very long for a structure like that to change. And then when the men come back from war, a lot of them have things that they'd like to forget, a lot of PTSD, a lot of alcohol and drug. And I'm not saying this as a guy who doesn't, I'm a veteran, okay? I see what the veterans go through. I understand it very well. So don't think that I'm disrespecting veterans when I say that. No, I am one. I understand how veterans think. I've seen them, I've met them, I know them. Now, this doesn't apply to all, but this is a generalization because we can't fit everything to every outlier. That's just not how things work. Now, with that out of the way, for the not all police to come to my damn channel, we're gonna get back to my analogy. We're gonna get back to the history lesson at hand. So back in the history lesson, when the women and the older, maybe weaker men and the children were the ones running the church, do you really think they were still preaching the fire and the brimstone and all that that they were preaching in the church beforehand? The strict order and law and all that kind of stuff that was in the church? No, not really. They were more about the feelings, more about the spiritualism, which is all well and good there. But when you lack the structure, the order, the accountability in the church, you end up with people flying rainbow flags. You end up with people having pastors equating the rainbow flag with love and the love of Christ. And you end up having children teaching children about basically gender theory Marxist garbage in the church instead of preaching the gospel. You have people preaching about how things make you feel versus what actually is said in the gospel, which then leads to guys like me having this conversation. Now, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have to have this conversation. In an ideal world, the church would function as it pretty much has from the beginning of, you know, Christ's ministry and everything else. Council of Nicaea, the Council of Worms, all this stuff, right? Problem is, we don't have that anymore. Because, A, the church doesn't have jurisdiction of marriage anymore, number one. And number two, the pastors are selling out their flocks to the politicians in hopes of getting political clout, recognition, and even more acolytes who are part of that political structure. Don't believe me? Look at how political theology has become, and look at how many pastors are on the internet trying to get clicks and all this other stuff like that. And also look at how a lot of men are run by their wives, not by their love of scripture or anything else. See, the reason why a lot of people tell a guy like me, who's a biblical bachelor, who believes in not getting married and whatnot, you might say that I'm a hypocrite. Here's the problem. A lot of the men who would call me that are actually hypocrites themselves. And I don't say this to throw you under the bus. I say this because I'm trying to save the church too. I'm trying to get men to realize, hey, we have isolated men out of the halls of the church, out of the pews, out of the synagogues, out of these places that matter in the society that have helped keep the morals in this country afloat. The problem is, nobody cares about men. Nobody cares about how men are men's reality in marriage. Nobody cares about men's reality when it comes to the participation in the church. A good man in the church is basically no more useful than a toolbox. He is a toolbox. When's the last time you had a pastor, male, female, whatever, come up in the church and say, hey, men in the church, we appreciate you. Hey, men, fathers, we appreciate you. Hey, men in the church who are, you know, God-fearing and who are trying to live according to the life that's been set before us, we appreciate you. We want to support you. We want to help you. We want to do all those things. I haven't. Have you? But when it comes to Mother's Day, oh, the mothers are great, the moms are great, the women are great, the women need to be respected. Now, I'm not saying that the women inherently don't deserve those kind of compliments. What I'm saying is, where is the appreciation for the men? Where is the messages to men saying, hey, men, you know, we preach this because this is what the Bible says. However, on society's end, society is much different than the culture in which this was written. So here's how we're going to make this actually livable. We're not going to hold you to a standard that's not actually livable. We're not going to tell you, hey, men, just get married. Don't worry about it. Your wife's going to be loyal to you. You're not going to be risking anything. Your kids are going to turn out just fine. Society doesn't matter. Here's a problem. When guys like Paul in the New Testament, he references the Old Testament all the time, by the way. But even in the New Testament, he talks about how men should love their wives and blah, blah, blah. This is true. Here's what he left out and what many pastors leave out. In that time period, women could get, they had no rights. They did not have protections that women today have under the law. So a man could basically go upside his wife's head. Nobody cared. Nothing. Nobody missed a beat. It was regular. And that's why he said to love your wives, to treat them with respect, because they depended on that man. They relied on that man. Now, today, that is not the case anymore. Now, we have this thing called cherry-picking equality. Now we have feminism. Now we have these things where men are treated like a utility, not like the backbone or a cornerstone of the family structure. The problem is, they leave that part out. They want the man to be traditional, but when it comes to, hey, women, you're really not supposed to talk all that much in the church. No, though, no, there's nothing about that there. Or, women, you're supposed to cover yourselves up and be modest. Oh, wait, no, 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 that's body shaming, you can't do that. Oh, women, you're supposed to be virgins. No, you can't do that. Or, hey, ladies, you know, you're supposed to keep each other in line and accountable. No, you can't do none of that. You see what I'm saying? Am I making sense to anybody? Again, I don't say these things for dramatic effect. I say this because I want you to understand you're not alone if you think this way. If you see what we're talking about, you are not alone. In fact, you're in good company. There are a lot of us out there who believe this, by the way. Oh, and for those of you who think, oh, Austin, you know, if you have sex before marriage, you're a bad person, I say, you know what? Back in the day, I'd agree with you. But not today. No. Sorry. It's not feasible. It doesn't work that way anymore. When you look at the statistics of how women are the ones who most divorce men, and a lot of men are also in sexless marriages, and how the government has control of marriage, and so if your marriage falls apart, even if it's not your fault, guess what? You're still on the hook. Guess what? You still get the pay. You still get all the BS that follows it. And all because you try to do the right thing. Now, is it set in stone and guaranteed? No. But is it statistically going to happen? Yes. So, you could go and say, you know what? I have a slim chance of it not happening to me, and I'm going to go for it. Okay? That's your choice. But don't tell me that because I'm smart, and I'm not going to just bet everything on a hope and a prayer that I'm the bad guy. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because guess what? You're the one who's giving into a system that doesn't care about you. You're the one who's making it harder for guys like us, like guys like myself, from actually, if we actually wanted to, marriage laws could get changed. But guess what? You're so horny, you so want to be the good, right guy, that you don't want to actually help fix society. You don't want to actually do anything that you claim that's what you want, but your actions don't actually match up with what you say. Me? I'm not trying to fix society. Would it be great? Yeah, but can I actually do that? Probably not. I'm not a politician. I don't have really any authority to do that. Can I open up people's minds and give them an alternative? Yes. Can I give you information that maybe you didn't know, or maybe to even let you know that if you think this way, you're not alone and you're not crazy? That's a win for me. Oh yeah. Because you'll hear guys talk about stuff like this that are not religious people. And their advice is still good. Absolutely. Still viable, for sure. But not a lot of them are actually on the inside, and they see what's going on in these churches where these pastors are basically like Forrest Gump, trying to teach you to be Forrest Gump and go in there and find yourself a Jenny and be a happy, good man. No, I don't think so. No, because you've earned more than that by working your heart out, by giving something to this world, and you earned better than that, in my opinion. But hey, you know what? If you want to treat me like I'm the problem for talking about how to save the church, okay, go ahead, make my day. I would love to have that discussion, but a lot of you probably won't want to because you'd just rather insult me. That's cool. I don't care. I'm still here to I'd love to help save the church by saving the minds of men. But you know what? Sometimes people need to experience things the hard way. I want friends. I encourage you to do your own research when it comes to this topic. I know that a lot of you, this is a very sensitive issue. I know that a lot of times you're going to react emotionally, and I don't blame you for that. What I would ask you to do, though, is to think about this from a logical perspective. After you've had your emotional reaction, calm down and say, wait a minute, maybe there's actually some good points here. Maybe Marxism is coming into the church. Maybe the gynocentrism in the society is lurked into the church. Maybe we can actually do something about this if we try to open men's eyes and prepare them for the slaughterhouse that the society is going to basically be for them. My friends, I encourage you to do your own research, think for yourself, use your brain, not what's below your belt. You take care of yourselves in the meantime. I'll see you next time. Peace.